Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
A couple of things before we begin this morning. I have added the Gloria in Excelsis to the service this morning, and so that means we'll be standing a little bit longer. If at some point you feel like you're done standing and you need to sit, feel free to sit. It's not necessary that you stand all that time. But I did include that thinking that it would be a good thing for us to do for Easter. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and so we are going to be going through the 23rd Psalm at various points in the service. So be aware of that. And the sermon is not necessarily going to follow that. I'll leave it at that. So we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
We sing our opening hymn. Please stand for the confession and absolution. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. As we are about to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us confess our sins, confident of his grace, mercy, and forgiveness. O Holy Spirit, we give thanks that the early church exemplified what it means to be the body of Christ and that many people came to faith through their witness. We must confess that we have not always been fully devoted to the study of the Word, to faithful use of the sacraments, and to the loving service of the people around us. Forgive us and renew us in our hearts and willing spirits. Our gracious Shepherd, we give thanks that you not only endured suffering and death for our sake, but also left us as an example that we might follow in your steps. We must confess that we have avoided suffering for your name, have not always turned the other cheek when reviled, and have often strayed from your will. Forgive us and open our ears to hear your gracious call to return to you. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that your Son knows each of us by name and that you have given us faith to hear his voice. He alone gives us protection. He alone offers us abundant life. We confess in all humility that often we have not listened to his voice. Too often we have feared the dangers of the world around us. Forgive us, strengthen our resolve, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the great shepherd of the sheep, gave himself willingly into suffering and death to pay for all our sinning and straying. By his resurrection, he has restored us to eternal and abundant life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Therefore, as a commissioned servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have awakened from death the shepherd of your sheep. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name, and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
The first reading today comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
We continue with a response. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Alleluia.
The epistle reading today comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is the figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Easter Sunday, I asked three questions. What, so what, and now what? Now that the Lord has risen, what is it that we are supposed to do? How is it that we are supposed to respond? Last Sunday, the Sunday school class began studying the book of James. James is a book about doing. James says, rather than just be hearers, be doers. He's talking about how we should respond. He is pretty direct and to the point. Out of the 108 verses in the book of James, 54 of those verses are imperatives. That is, telling us what it is that we should specifically be doing. My premise for today, then, is that the texts from Acts 2 that was just read a little while ago might also have some answers for how we should respond to this resurrection that we celebrate during this season of Easter. Last week, we heard about the results of Peter's sermon, and I talked about a sermon on sermons. Peter, because of Peter's sermon, the very first one that he gave, 3,000 people were baptized. That's the kind of growth that every church would just love to have. In verse 41, we begin today's reading, and it says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. And today we begin with the very next verse. Verse 42, it says, and they, those 3,000, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking bread and the prayers, and all who believed were together and had things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and with generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. There's a lot in those few short verses, so I'd like to kind of break those down a little bit and see what those specifics are so that we might understand them better. First of all, the text says they devoted themselves steadfastly to the apostles' teachings. The Greek word that is translated here as devoted, some texts translate it as steadfast, means to be continually attentive to. They continually listened to, paid attention to, and studied what the apostles were teaching them. They stuck to, if you will, what the apostles were teaching. And the text goes on to say that they devoted themselves to fellowship. Today, when we think of fellowship, the first thought that comes to mind, at least one of the first things that I think of, is the fellowship that we have downstairs after worship, where we have coffee and cookies. The fellowship of sitting around and talking. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that fellowship. But there's more to that word, the Greek word. The Greek word is koinonia, which means partnering or sharing. It means the coming together of friends who are interested in and believe in the same things. It's fellowship with people who believe in that same doctrine that we believe in. An example might be the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is in fellowship with many other church bodies worldwide. There's a partnership there. There's an agreement there on doctrine and on teaching. And the text goes on to say, they were steadfast in the breaking of bread. That would be a closer definition of what we see fellowship as, eating together something, whether it's coffee or cookies, or a whole meal. And further it says, and these are things that we should be thinking about now, well, it says they were devoted to prayers and continued to pray. And they spent a lot of time together because they had so much in common. The world, the rest of the Jewish world, didn't follow what Jesus had to say, and so this small group of 3,000 really had to push the rest of the world away. And some of those people even sold some of their possessions and gave to the needy and those who were less fortunate. And those 3,000, the text says, attended the temple, which would be the equivalent of our attending worship. And it says, the text also says, they broke bread in their homes, which would suggest that they had meals that probably included the Lord's Supper. And it goes on to say they gave thanks for their food with glad and generous hearts. And finally, it says they praised God and sought favor with other people. And as a result of all of that steadfast things that those people did, the text finally says, and the Lord added to their number day by day. That's how the first Christians responded to their newfound faith. And as a result, the Lord added to their number day by day. As I said a minute ago, I think this text might have some instruction for us as we consider that question of now what? Now that Christ has risen, now what are we supposed to do? But after thinking about it for a little bit, thinking about those things that are suggested here, thinking about those things that the 3,000 were doing that were listed in the text for today, you might be saying to yourself, well, now wait a minute. Hold on here just a minute. We're already steadfastly doing all those things. True. We study the Bible. We are in fellowship with each other, with the district, with the church synod, Missouri Synod. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. We have prayers in church, and we have prayers in Sunday school, and I'm hoping that you all are praying at home. We give to the poor and to the downtrodden. We donate food to fish. We have glad and generous hearts. After all, we just gave a box of diapers to the relief nursery that would literally have filled this pulpit. We praise God during worship every Sunday. You could easily ask, if your premise is true, that the text has answers for us and we are doing those things, then why aren't we growing? I think that's a fair question. I don't know that I have the answer to that, but there are people who are a lot smarter than I am who observe these kinds of things, and they may have some answers. And let me preface the rest of my sermon with saying, I'm hoping I'm on the right track here. There's a woman who has a blog on the district website. She has a post every week, and it's found under the section of legacy congregations. In a recent post, she was talking about the stories that each congregation has. We have a story that's 126 years old, and it began back in 1891. One of the first things that happened in the story of this congregation is that 11 people died from some tainted vegetables that were brought to a church gathering. This congregation has been served by more than a dozen pastors, and our story includes two new church buildings. Every congregation has a story. And Zimke, the woman who writes this article, goes on to say that God's Bible has a story to tell us. We study that story in Bible school and in Sunday school. And we read from texts from that Bible every Sunday. She suggests that each congregation's story should mesh with God's story, 100%. But then she goes on to say this, and I quote her from her last post. For congregations in decline, that integration tends to be less the case. You can tell by the questions that people ask. And she goes on to list some questions that people in legacy congregations ask. She says people ask questions like, how can we stay open? As opposed to, what is God doing and how can we plug into that? She says people ask questions like, how can we get young families into this church and through our doors? As opposed to, how can we serve people where they are? She suggests that we ask questions like, how can we keep what we have? Versus, how can we use what we have to do what God wants us to do here? My question is this. Which of those questions do we hear most in this congregation? Do we hear the questions, how can we stay open? How can we get young families in the door? How can we keep whatever we have? Or do we hear questions like, what is God doing and how can we plug into that? Or how can we serve people where they are? Or where can we use what we have to do what God wants us to do here and now? Which of those questions do we hear? How well do our questions align with God's story? How well do they align with our story? For those of you who receive my message in a minute, I ask the question, where is the focus of your church this week? On what do we place most of value? Do we know what we are all about? Or have we begun searching for what we are about? Or have we lost what we are about? Yesterday, the call committee met, and they were working on a response to the district's letter of a month or so ago. And as part of that discussion, a question about the budget came up. And it was pointed out that in the last year, in the year 2016, we spent about 37% of our income on building maintenance and upkeep and utilities. At the same time, we spent 1% on evangelism. I'll show you the math if you'd like to see it. But it was pointed out, well, what about all of our Lenten services and our Advent services where we collect money? And what about that huge box of diapers that we just talked about a little while ago? And what about the food that we give to fish? If we conservatively say that all of those things combined totals about $2,000, that would still only come to 2.5% of our income. So what does our money say about where our focus is? What is God calling us to do? Do our questions revolve around having and keeping and saving, or should they perhaps be revolving around sharing and giving and inviting? Now, before you misunderstand my point, we are not bad people. We may be tired people. We may be people who have a lot of experience with life, But we are not bad people. God is not punishing us for something or another. We are not worse than any other Christian church or group of people. We are not bad. So then the question still remains, how do we, here at Emmanuel in Albany, how do we respond to that death and resurrection that we celebrated a couple of weeks ago in the season of which we celebrate now? I'm going to give you some of my thoughts, and these are my thoughts. You certainly have your own, and I encourage you to discuss your thoughts with each other. But here are my thoughts, and I accept full responsibility for them. I think the first response that we have is that we plan to continue as a worshiping family and congregation using the traditions that we have had and focusing on the things to which we are accustomed for as long as we can. And second, I want us to realize this. We have been a blessing. This church has been a blessing to probably thousands of people in our 126 years of service to this community. Thirdly, I suspect that we need to accept that we most likely face in the not too distant future a time when we may not be able to continue as a congregation. I don't know how long that will be, but I suspect that it might be. Based on the statistics that most churches don't last beyond 80 years, we're pushing the limits. Each year, the average age in this congregation increases by 1 year. The district has implied by their letter and by other things that I have heard that they really question our ability to afford a full-time pastor. And they have offered to help us find a deacon who is willing to become a part-time pastor and go through the ordination process. So you say, well, what are we going to do in the meantime? Some more of my thoughts. Invite someone to church. There are lots of people out there who are looking for a congregation. You know, when people get past about 50 years old or so, particularly in their 60s and their 70s, they begin to look at their life and they begin to say, what have I accomplished? And where am I headed? And maybe I should consider going back to church. We also need to acknowledge that we don't have much to offer young families. And so the question is it realistic for us to say, well, we've got to get young people in the door? That's a great goal. And if they come through the door, the question is, what is it that will keep them here? I will let you answer that question on your own. We continue by fervently praying for God's help. We continue by praying for God's guidance. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be stirred up in each one of us, both those who are here and those who are not here this morning. We ask that the Holy Spirit would stir us up and bring us opportunities to invite someone to church and to share our story. Now, you can probably think of a lot of other things that we might do as well, and I encourage you to share those with others during the times of fellowship that we have. Finally, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and we pray that our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again for our salvation, we pray that he will lead us and that we will joyously follow him into the future that he has planned for us. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn 761. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from Him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. Let us pray to Almighty God for people everywhere in their various needs, for the church around the world, and for all who are near and dear to us and for ourselves. God of eternity, we ask that you guide us into the future day by day. You know our desire to grow as a congregation. Help us to do that in a way that is pleasing to you and follows your great commission. Lead us to opportunities to reach out to others and give us courage to speak of your great love and forgiveness with faith and confidence. Open our minds, our eyes, and our ears, most importantly, our hearts, to your divine direction. Risen Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we pray that wherever people are calling out to you, wanting for food or clothing or shelter, that you will awaken in us, in government and in social agencies, care and compassion for your children, that the blessings you have showered on this planet be shared with them, bringing you all the glory and praise. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, we pray for all people who are suffering under the ravages of war between nations, with civil unrest and revolution and terror from extremists of all stripes. Raise up leaders who will work for peace and justice and will seek ways of reconciliation. Move government leaders to look in empathy on all who are denied basic human rights. Lead them to make decisions to restore calm and human dignity for all. Risen Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, who uses word and sacrament to work faith in the hearts of all believers, we pray for this congregation, for churches here in Albany and all around the world. Grant opportunities for all Christians to proclaim the gospel, strengthen those who trust in Christ, and lead many to their Savior. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Great Physician, hear us as we pray for those who we know are calling out to you for healing of body and mind and spirit, who face this day with sudden crisis, who are enduring long-term illnesses or are looking through the tears of sorrow. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Jerry, Audrey, Jean, Jocelyn, Piper, and Norm. We pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Comfort each of these by the presence of the Holy Spirit and remind them of the certainty of their eternal life through faith in you. Use each of us to minister to them in their times of need. Grant them health, relief of pain, and comfort as you accompany them on their walk in this life. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, we give thanks to you for the service of C.F.W. Walter, who led the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during her early days in the United States. Grant that your Holy Spirit would give wisdom to all of our synodical, district, and circuit leaders, that they may lead us into the spiritual growth and salvation of this nation. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we ask that you strengthen the faith of all who celebrate the Lord's Supper this day. Bestow on us the blessings of life and salvation that flow from our Savior's body and blood. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for these things and all other things that we should have asked for you, so grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Continue with the preface. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. He, the very Paschal Lamb who has become our Good Shepherd, who sacrificed himself for the flock and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. By his rising again, he has given us abundant life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have not left us a defenseless flock, but sent your Son to be our shepherd in the door of the sheepfold. Give us faith to lack nothing in this life, that even when we walk in death's shadow, we are confident of his presence to bless and preserve us. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body and given in death, and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. You alone, O Father, be all the glory and honor and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always. We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Lord Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd, you have protected your flock by your death and resurrection, and in this sacrament have nourished the faith within us. Grant us such faith that we always listen to your voice and follow you in the paths of righteousness, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now may the God of peace, who raised our dear Lord Jesus from the dead, equip you with everything good that you will need to do his will, which is pleasing in his sight. And now may he bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. If anyone has announcements, please come forward. While Velma's coming up, I was serious about the number of diapers that we donated. There was a box as big as that pulpit. I think we could have filled that whole pulpit with diapers. And so I thank those of you who brought some, and maybe we'll start saving up early so that when they come next time, we'll have at least as many for them. And I guess Velma didn't have an announcement, so so we sing our closing hymn. Go in peace, serve the Lord.